Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. This program deals in hope. It deals in looking at all the ways that we can change our lives for the better, whether it's our nutrition or behavior, the environment which we live. We're all given choices. And based upon the quality of those choices, we can make constructive or less than constructive occurrences, and we want to show you how many different good ways we can change something around, especially with positive attitude and let the body start to heal in a way that it can. So I'm going to be taking calls today. Normally I open the show with the latest in health nutrition update information. I will be going back to a guest-based format in approximately 2 weeks. But because I've been traveling for a couple months now, all over, and I have a backup of information that generally does not get much attention. And when it does, it's usually a very biased presentation by the mainstream media. I've tried to share with you a lot of that. And we'll be having some of the people who I believe have made a difference in our lives. People who are the cutting edge. And these are not just people who are on best-selling book tours. These are people that we have to go out there and find. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, but it's worth it when they share a lot of good insights with us. Those programs will commence in approximately 2 weeks. And I'll be doing some commentaries. I'll also be restarting my special investigative reporting series in 4 weeks. And I'm also going to do something new. I'm going to try something. I'm a believer that we should hold the door of opportunity open for as many people who are desiring and skilled enough to come through that. And in non-commercial radio in particular, there's so few forums for a new voice to be heard. So one day a week, I'm going to provide a forum, if it works, where I'm going to have a one-hour health format show, meaning it'll be, instead of me having an interview with someone and giving health and nutrition update, I'm going to give people in this audience, and it can be anywhere in the audience, it can be anywhere in the United States where the show is heard, a chance maybe someone will do the latest in worldwide health news, and maybe someone else will do a newsmaker interview, and someone else can do the latest in alternative healing. Maybe someone do a piece on social action. So this way it'll be broken into short segments, provide a forum for people, be very important information for everyone in the audience, and a lot of it, and will hopefully allow us an opportunity to have a new group of people see who can step up to the mic and start to evolve and develop. And I believe that we need more of these. We just don't have the workshops. We don't have it. We've never had the money to do it, first off, and there's no organization for it. So this will be a forum for it. Anyone interested in being a part of that, trying out, and it's all voluntary. I volunteer. I'm not paid for what I do. I've never been paid a penny in all my years on BAI. You can call my office and speak with Anna. And then I'll be interviewing you when I return to New York. And in fact, that'll be at the end of this week. And that number is 646-505-4660. 646-505-4660. That said, today we're going to continue with our taking calls. And we're going to speak with people once again from one of the largest areas of listenership in the United States, and that's the greater Los Angeles area. And we're on KPFK, Roy of Hollywood's program. Roy has been gracious enough, very kind of him, to provide us with a forum. And and I appreciate that, as I'm sure many of you do as well. That number out there is 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. Now, for those of you who are listening everywhere else in the United States, we'll get to you, and we'll have days when you will be able to call in with your questions. And if you do have any issue that you would like to see addressed on the air, any topic that you feel is important, please send me that information to GaryNall.com. I review all of the emails that I possibly can, and especially things that involve new information or investigations. It's always forwarded to me wherever I'm at. So that's GaryNall.com. And by the way, it's from your topic request that I program shows. For instance, we had over 10,000 requests in a one-year period of people who wanted to see more on women's health. So I did a 10-part series on women's health. So, and we had a lot of requests on what was going wrong in psychiatry. So I did a 9-part series on abuses in psychiatry. So your input does count. Please let me know by going to GaryNall.com and telling me what is the topic that you'd like to see something done on. And we do have on GaryNall.com the activist page where anything you are wanting to get involved in, we show you how to get involved, who to write, who to call, where to put your energies on Codex Elementarius or any one of over 30 different issues. And it's updated daily. Let's go to the phone, see who's on the line and what the issues are and how we might be able to share some positive energy. Hi, what's your name, please?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Yes, I have a question. I wanted to know, what would you recommend for people with menopause?
Are you suffering with menopause?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm over 50.
Okay.
52.
Mm-hmm. When did it start?
About, I'd say, a month ago.
Describe your symptoms, please.
My symptoms are mostly like hot flashes. I tend to be tired, moody, a little bit more moody than I was before, but I definitely get hot flashes.
What about your skin?
It's somewhat dry, but not too dry.
Your energy level?
It's not what it used to be, definitely.
Explain.
I think I get tired easier, but the hot flashes are what's really bothering me. And I sweat, and I have difficulty sleeping.
Explain what you mean by difficulty in sleeping.
I don't sleep soundly, and I used to. I'll get up at night several times. I don't feel rested in the morning. And I used to sleep very well.
What about local infections?
You mean, do I have any infections?
Yes.
I don't think so. I have frequent urination.
How frequent?
It's hard to describe. I just have more frequent urination.
Okay, now, how athletic are you?
I'm fairly athletic. I walk a lot, and I would say I'm quite athletic.
All right, and tell me what you eat.
I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat fruit. I eat brown rice. I have a lot of salads.
When you're talking about you're eating some fruit and brown rice and salads, is that something you're doing now, or is that something that you've always done?
No, I've done that for years. I have a pretty good diet, and I take vitamins.
Which vitamins do you take?
I take B-complex. I take multivitamin. I take different herbs like ginkgo, and I take coenzyme Q10.
How much?
What do you mean, how much? I take a multivitamin every day. I usually take coenzyme Q10, but I haven't been taking it lately. Because I thought maybe, you know, I shouldn't be taking that or something. I actually stopped taking that.
Why'd you stop taking ginkgo?
Well, just because I'd run out of it, and I just thought, well, maybe there's something about the coenzyme, but I was thinking of starting it again. Because that really was good. This was prior to my having menopause.
Okay, but when it comes to coenzyme Q10, how much of the specific coenzyme Q10 are you taking? How much ginkgo did you take?
Okay. I usually took, for the ginkgo, one capsule a day, and the same thing for coenzyme Q10. And it was usually, the coenzyme was 30 milligrams.
Not very much. Okay, what's your profession?
I haven't been taking it lately, and I was thinking maybe that's what's part of the problem.
Do you have sugar in your diet?
Very little.
But you do have it?
Once in a while, but it actually...
Any caffeine?
I used to not have any. No, no caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Any dairy?
About several years ago, I stopped all the dairy, and I started taking other, you know, I didn't take dairy after that.
What kind of work do you do, or have you done?
I was taking soy. I still take soy.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
What kind of work do you do? What's your profession?
Well, I was an actress, and I also was an activist. And lately I've been under... I just seem to be much more stressed than I used to be.
Let me give you an insight into the whole subject of menopause, and I'm sure that it will not just hopefully help you, but everyone else in the audience. And for men in particular, please listen up, because this is something that all the women in your life are going to go through. And if you understand what they're going through, you can be supportive and help them. And so that a lot of the conditions that this woman is talking about will not be affected. And by the way, again, how long have you been suffering from the symptoms?
Of the menopause? Actually, just about a month or so. Month or 2 months.
Okay. Let's take a look at this. I'm going to give you a long answer. I won't give you the short answer on this because I believe it deserves a long answer. Menopause marks the end of the female reproductive cycle, which typically occurs between the ages of 45 and 50. And you're 52, so you're right at that time. But it can happen later. It can last, let's say, to the age of 60 and then kick in. Or it can be as early as 40. Or even earlier if you've had surgery or hysterectomy or even some illnesses. Menopause is said to begin when a woman goes through one complete year without a period. And the stage before menopause is called perimenopause. And that can last as long as 10 years. And that's generally one where a woman starts to feel her metabolism shift down and she becomes more fatigued. Now, many women harbor misconceptions about the nature and the effect of menopause. And yet, in cultures where menopause is less feared, symptoms are virtually non-existent. In fact, I just returned from one particular culture where menopause is simply unknown because their bodies and their minds are not conditioned to be influenced by it. It's a myth to imagine that the ovaries fail at menopause. And during perimenopause, the ovaries go through elastorol. The body is making very high levels of estrogen, trying to kickstart the ovaries so they can keep going. There's no winding down, but rather very high levels at this time, though they tend to fluctuate rather erratically. And that erratic fluctuation of your ovaries is what causes your hot flashes. Nature produced your ovaries, which are endocrine glands, to keep working throughout your life. Now, there will be a reduction in the hormone levels because during this period, you're going to shift out of your reproductive nature, which is part of what nature has to do. Understand it from nature's point of view. If you're able to have a child at 60 and the life expectancy 200 years ago was 40, then you would have very little opportunity for that child to be able to have a life. So there was a reason why nature said, okay, there's no longer a reason now for you to have a child. And hence we're going to close down this function. That's really what this is about. There's no need for you to be producing hormones required for ovulation. And at menopause, your body shifts just enough so that you no longer are able to produce eggs. But you can still produce adequate levels of estrogen to maintain the functions of your body. You never stop producing estrogen, yet how many times have I heard gynecologists and all these other doctors who should know better saying, well, you no longer produce estrogen. Not true. Absolutely not true. The two main estrogens are estradiol and estrione. Now, the estradiol drops about 15% from what it would be during the perimenopausal, and the estrione drops about 40 to 50%. But the body does continue to produce hormones. And at menopause, the outer part of the ovaries, which have been responsible for producing eggs, begins to shrink because eggs are no longer being created. But the inner part, called the inner stroma, actually gets switched on for the first time. And it produces hormones that look after your heart and your blood vessels and your skin and your libido. In effect, these hormones begin to protect your body and your well-being as you become more susceptible to aging. So isn't it interesting how nature, in its infinite wisdom, knew, okay, when we needed our youthful vitality and hormones to produce a baby, we had this go into effect. But now we no longer need to have that baby, so we're going, because we wouldn't possibly biologically be able to make it strong, and we don't want to create a weaker genetic type of baby, so we're going to turn that off. But we now want to protect our heart and our body from aging, so we're going to turn on this hormone. It's just magnificent when you think about it. Would you agree?
Right.
Are you following me up to this point?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Now, furthermore, when estrogen production by the ovaries declines, other parts of your body switch on. For example, your adrenal glands start to produce estrogen, which help turn fat into estrogen. So even women who have hysterectomies and are told you can never produce estrogen again, that's simply a total fabrication. That's a total myth. You can produce estrogen. Your ovaries can produce estrogen by converting body fat. So again, do not believe these myths that your doctors, who unfortunately are not up to date or are just so intellectually dishonest about what happens in a woman's body. So if you are healthy, you're able to create enough estrogen to keep yourself vital without needing estrogen replacement therapy. Do you understand this?
Right.
Okay, good. So now you know that don't get sucked into going out there and taking hormone replacement therapy just because you're told you need it. You do not. Now, progesterone, and do you know what progesterone is?
Well, could you explain it?
Sure. Progesterone levels are going to be a little lower at perimenopause, and low progesterone, which is your protective hormone, and that affects women at this stage of life more so than low estrogen levels. And these levels can be assessed through a saliva test, which should be the gold standard for assessing hormone levels. Never have a hormone level done with blood, because blood is never an accurate indicator of your hormone levels. Blood tests generally show only 1% to 9% of the hormones circulating in your body, which will lead your doctor to think that you are deficient. This type of misdiagnosis then leads to mistreatment. If you're only seeing 1% of your hormones in your blood, but you could see up to 95% in your saliva, than the saliva test. Now, progesterone, which I'll get to in great depth in a little bit, is what actually protects against the cancers and other things that occur when there's an imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, depending upon what our bodies have been impacted upon. Now, on the first changes, perimenopause women experience, they frequently see a change in the menstrual cycle. The time between cycles may increase or decrease, or they may skip a month. Now, usually blood flow is reduced, but women may also experience heavy, irregular bleeding, and that can be problematic for some women, especially if you're not taking your green vegetables and having B12 and plenty of B vitamins, which you need. And usually, as this blood flow is reduced, you end up with hot flashes, dry skin, then come the mood swings, then the depression, and irritability, and vaginal dryness, night sweats, your bladder infection, which could be one of the reasons why you're having chronic urination, which we can deal with and we will, and the fatigue, which you mentioned, and your sleep disturbances, which you're also. So you're already suffering from five of the conditions that are common when there's this shift. But I'll show you in a little bit how you can reverse this shift. Still with me on this?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Now, many changes appear in perimenopause of women, but the negative ones usually arise from stress, bad diet, pharmaceutical drugs, an exhausted adrenal glands, and other things, not from lowered estrogen levels. Now, you said that you were under stress, right?
Not a lot, but some.
Fatigue?
I have some fatigue. Most of it is like some difficulty in sleeping.
But had you gone through stressful times?
Prior to this?
Yes.
Off and on, but I felt really good. I mean, I felt healthy.
Okay. But again, remember, part of that can be due to the fact that we better adapt to how we tolerate stress, meaning we will accept stress as inevitable, and we simply say, well, I got to live with it, and I'm not going to let it upset my life completely. But if we have not understood that it's still impacting upon ourselves, then even if we don't take the stress as seriously as we once did, it's still adversely affecting us. And that can cause an imbalance in our hormone levels. I believe, based upon the research I've done, that the symptoms of menopause and also those for PMS, which are produced by the same imbalances, are really the results of poor health. And we're not eating organic. A lot of people who are vegetarians still are unhealthy vegetarians. And when we correct these imbalances, the hormones automatically go back into balance and you receive all the benefits. Women need to understand that a healthy liver and a healthy digestive system and a healthy adrenal system and getting the colon working are the factors that contribute to a healthy hormone production. It's well known in those cultures that do not associate the cessation of menstruation with negative consequences. Like the Japanese, for example, they don't even have a word for menopause or hot flashes. They look at this as just a transition period, but not one with a significant effect upon a woman's life. So the symptoms we are told are inevitable, that all women must endure, are actually symptoms of imbalance. And I've found that to be true in all the people I've counseled. And when you notice the symptoms appearing, such as night sweats or cramps or fatigue, to get immediate relief, you've got to work on natural methods. Now, let's take a look at some of these in detail. According to the best clinical work I've seen, and that would be Dr. Janice Stefanossi, society expects menopausal women to lose their sexual drive. But that is absolutely a myth. They could if they perceive that they should be less sexual and have less of a libido. Many women fear that they are going to lose their passion and sexuality. And really only a small portion of women who go through menopause have their sex drive adversely affected. For these women who lose their sexual desire or have difficulty becoming and staying aroused, help is available. But most women do not experience sexual arousal problems, and many report feeling more sexual because they have reduced the risk of pregnancy. It was Dr. Linda Ojeda, author of Menopause Without Medicine, who says many women see menopause as the beginning of the end. They believe that life is going to be downhill from this point on, and they no longer think of themselves as youthful, as being able to contribute to society, and they fear that their behavior will become erratic and hysterical, or some even believe they'll be out of control. Again, not true. When you reach 50 and you're 52, you do not turn into some manic person or depressed person. And think of how many women in the United States today are on antidepressants because they're told that they have a biochemical imbalance leading to either manic or bipolar depression, when all they have done is suffer from some of the symptoms of a hormone imbalance having nothing to do with brain chemistry as such, organic brain chemistry, and could have easily been corrected naturally without the devastation of the tranquilizers. The tranquilizers actually make the condition worse because they adversely affect the hormone levels you do have remaining. So I think that's very important. The medical community has to take the responsibility for creating this belief by stressing the need for hormone replacement therapy, which is quackery. In reality, menopause is not a disease, but a natural transition that should be dealt with naturally. Let me tell you why I do not believe that you or any other woman should take hormone replacement therapy. And I'm hoping you haven't even considered that, have you?
No, I haven't considered it.
Good. Don't. It's dangerous. It could kill you. And I'll explain why. And that's not an overstatement. That's not a hyperbolization or a fear statement. It is killing people. And that's one of my next big crusades. When I'm doing with AIDS and mercury filling and fluoride and these other things, I'm going after hormone replacement therapy and bringing Barbara Seaman and all the Mrs. Selman and all the other people who've done so much important work and bringing all this to the public's attention, because we're dealing with probably 50 million American women plus worldwide. All over the world, hundreds of millions of women are using hormone replacement therapy, and it's absolutely dangerous. And if your doctor says otherwise, your doctor is misinformed. Now, all hormone replacement therapy that is synthetic is based upon a deceit. In the 1970s, women turned their backs on supplementation with estrogen alone because it had been found to cause endometrial cancer. So the drug companies came up with a hormone replacement therapy, which used a combination of estrogen and a synthetic progestin like Provera. They used a synthetic because natural progesterone, which has no toxic side effects, cannot be patented. To sell hormone replacement therapy to women who were scared of hormones after the revelations of the 1970s, the companies claimed that hormone replacement therapy reduced the risk of a condition most women were unaware of, osteoporosis. According to Cheryl Selman, who's probably the best source I know on this, osteoporosis was intentionally made to appear as a specifically diseased condition for women, which it never was. And the image of the dowager's hump, which it could lead to, was a terror that overrode women's fears of cancer. The image was that this new disease would lead their bones to crumble and leave them aged and handicapped. And in the early 1990s, a new reason for healthy women to take this powerful cancer-causing steroid was introduced. Hormone replacement therapy was said to be very protective of your heart. In fact, a Harvard study at the time with about 46,000 female nurses found that those who had taken hormone replacement therapy had a lower incidence of heart disease by up to 50%. Good news. No. Because when that study was more fully investigated, it turned out that the women with lower heart rates were actually women who were eating a better diet, who were healthier. It had nothing to do with hormone replacement therapy. That's the danger of extrapolating information that you want to sell your product without looking at the consequences. It was just wrong. Compared to the group who were supposed to have a greater incidence of heart disease, they were healthier. But they were also wealthier. They did more exercise. They were better educated. They had better diets. Fewer of them had diabetes. Fewer of them smoked. So the women who didn't take hormone replacement therapy were more likely to have diabetes, smoked, were poorer, and didn't visit their doctors. Also not reported in the study was the fact that women who took hormone replacement therapy had a 50% increase in strokes. This, then, was a flawed, biased study, utterly corrupt. And yet, that's what the good side of the story, which was a lie, is what the news media and the medical community picked up on and sponsored. And the truth of it, that women would die of strokes, was not. Well, by now, hormone replacement therapy, originally supposed to only be short-term treatment for relief of menopausal symptoms, had become a long-term treatment given to prevent other conditions which only might occur. By giving it to healthy women with no history of heart disease to perhaps prevent them from one day getting it, that's irresponsible, that's dangerous, that is not the way medicine should be practiced. In truth, the use of hormone replacement therapy is actually killing women because it is increasing the risk of cardiovascular disease. It's important to understand that the way these drugs are pushed creates the fear that menopause itself is a risk factor in heart disease. That's not true. The rationale for giving hormone replacement therapy to postmenopausal women is that when you arrive at menopause, and again, women do it at different times in their life, the beneficial fats are used in a different way by the body. Hence, women should change their diet radically and get on with hormone replacement therapy, and so that they're going to protect their heart from all these bad things they've been doing. So in other words, oh, you mean if I've been eating the wrong fats, or if I've been smoking, or if I've been drinking, or if I've been eating sugar, all that's taken care of by hormone replacement therapy? Sure. Not true. Studies from reputable researchers show that this is a myth. There is no rapid increase of heart disease in postmenopausal women. There is simply a rise in heart disease as women move on in life in general, meaning the older you get, the more likely you are to have heart disease or cancer, depending upon what your life has been like up to that point. The doctors who push hormone replacement therapy as a preventative for women's heart disease seem not to take into account the fact that men also have a higher incidence of heart disease as they age. Some thought that women overtake men and develop a higher incidence of heart disease later in life, but again, not true. Many things contribute to increased risk of heart disease, but menopause is not one of them. Women are being given this false information, and so are doctors, because their main education comes from, you guessed it, the pharmaceutical industry. The final myth on which hormone replacement therapy is based is that women become estrogen deficient as they age, but in fact, very few women have this estrogen deficiency. And it's important to understand this point so that women can claim power over their bodies and their health. And recent studies have challenged the theory that hormone replacement therapy is beneficial to the heart. A study that came out recently, sponsored by Eris, the company that manufactures the number one replacement estrogen, Premarin, used estrogen and progesterone in an attempt to show the benefits of hormone replacement therapy as a secondary treatment for the women in the study who already had some form of heart disease. They gave half the women hormone replacement therapy and the other half a placebo. After 5 years, they discovered that in the first year of treatment, the women taking hormone replacement therapy had a 50% increase in heart attacks. Over the 5 years, the risk decreased. And the conclusion was that women who already had heart conditions got no overall benefit from hormone replacement therapy. But this glossed over the horrible fact that hormone replacement therapy increased heart problems in the first year. What was more, women taking it had three times as many blood clots in the legs than women taking the placebo. There was also an increase in gallbladder disease. The estrogen and synthetic progestin used in hormone replacement therapy are not natural substances. They're steroid drugs. About 120 risk and side effects are associated with this combination, and some of them are life-threatening, including not just heart problems, but cancers of the reproductive organs, breast cancer, increased risk of diabetes, asthma, thyroid imbalances, and immune dysfunction. Now, the manufacturer's own package insert warns that these drugs should not be taken by women who have current problems with or a history of clotting or thrombosis or stroke or cardiovascular disorders or high lipoproteins, which, by the way, is a specific type of blood fat, and severe hypertension or lipid metabolism disorders. Well, you're talking about 50 million women, but no one pays attention. Estrogen and progestin will increase the possibility of a stroke and clotting since they thicken the blood and raise blood pressure. And these factors all contribute to the possibility of a heart disease. And that's dangerous. In fact, when rhesus monkeys whose uterus and ovaries were removed on a regimen of estrogen and progestin, another group got estrogen and natural progesterone. And the monkeys on the synthetic formula developed vascular spasms and their coronary artery shut down. And the only way they could save them is by giving them a drug that reversed the condition. But with estrogen and natural progesterone, there were fewer effects, hardly noticeable. And these results indicate that not only is estrogen a factor in increasing risk of heart disease, but so is progestin, since it constricts the arteries. There was another study done that I read where one group of women were given natural progesterone and estrogen and another group the synthetic combination, and they were put on a treadmill. Well, those women who were taking the synthetic mixture had a remarkably decreased ability to work out. They became exhausted, but those using the natural progesterone showed no ill effect. So it seems perverse to give women either estrogen alone or hormone replacement combinations when it's known that these synthetic hormones cause stroke and blood clots. In fact, there's a class action suit underway in Britain by women who claim they have gotten strokes and clots directly from hormone replacement therapy. And I've known women who have had strokes due to hormone replacement therapy. Now, progestin also contributes to birth deformities. That's why women on the pill are told not to get pregnant. It also impairs the liver. It impairs your gallbladder. It contributes to depression and headaches. And it promotes increased facial hair and fluid retention. Makes you infertile. Causes you to have miscarriages. Now think of all those things. And a large number of women now have endometriosis, which is at least exacerbated, if not caused, by synthetic estrogens and progestins. And progestin interferes with blood sugar. You know what that's going to do? It's going to increase the risk of diabetes and blood sugar imbalances, and that's going to cause fatigue. And progestins are just as dangerous as estrogens in causing a range of serious heart problems. Now, another important point is that estrogen and progesterone are not just sex hormones. They regulate and influence all the symptoms of your body, including the digestive, immune, circulatory, and nervous systems. And because tampering with those hormones has grave consequences for your physical and psychological health, you've got to be fully aware and concerned. Instead, what happens is that hormone replacement therapy plays havoc with your psychology. First off, you gain weight. And since taking estrogen leads to the body to convert food into fat and store it, you're just going to have weight in all the wrong places. This is nature's way of helping women survive famine. And furthermore, dieting and exercising alone will not take hormone replacement therapy caused fat off. And other consequences of estrogen dominance are fibrocystic breast, depression, mood swings, anger, fluid retention, bloating, fatigue, migraines, and headaches. And estrogen lowers the libido. It does not increase it. There's a foggy thinking and memory loss. There's fibroids, which are the number one reason women have hysterectomies, because they're fed extra estrogen. There's also aches and pains, what we call fibromyalgia. And there's infertility and miscarriages. And too much estrogen can block the uptake of thyroid hormones. Well, that leaves you with thyroid problems. And estrogen excess also weakens muscle tones and makes your skin sag. If you want your skin to look old and sag, take estrogen replacement therapy. It'll do it. And one of the more serious consequences of prolonged excess of estrogen is the increase in breast cancer. This year, there was a march, as there is every year, sponsored by a chemotherapy company, of course, March for Breast Cancer Awareness. So I went to the march, and I walked with the women, and I was asking them questions. What do you think causes breast cancer? Oh, smoking and excess sun exposure. That was kind of the mantra. So I asked a group of older women, do you take hormone replacement therapy? 7 of the 10 did. I said, are you aware that that can lead to breast cancer? What? No, not aware. Yes, it can. The hormones that you're taking can lead to breast cancer. The hormones you're taking are made by the company sponsoring this march. Oh, didn't know that either. It shows you we've got some big holes in our what we're doing here. The latest finding is from Boston Nurses Study, which has been going on for 18 years. And it's that women on hormone replacement therapy who have been taking synthetic estrogens and progestins for 10 years or more have a 100% increased risk of breast cancer. The combination of progestin with estrogen was even more deadly than taking estrogen alone. For progestin, as I mentioned earlier, is carcinogenic, associated with a higher incidence of reproductive cancers, breast cancer, endometrial cancer, ovarian cancer. Now, the level of propaganda from doctors and the drug companies is so great that for the average woman, the myth that without hormone replacement therapy, you'll deteriorate starting at menopause becomes useless, decrepit, and powerless in your own life. That's enshrined as truth. It's not. It's a lie. Nature didn't make a mistake. It did not program women to decline. If you're going downhill, it's your own doing, because we don't understand how to help the body rejuvenate. And with respect to osteoporosis, most people are told that estrogen prevents osteoporosis. This is only partially true. Around menopause, synthetic estrogen replacement therapy is used by some women. I disagree with this, but they use it for about 5 to 7 years to slow down bone loss, which it will do. But it does not reverse in any way, shape, or form. And the studies have shown that 8 to 10 years after menopause is finished, there's no benefit to estrogen replacement therapy for bone loss. But you could be preventing it all along. Osteoporosis and reversing it with boron, magnesium, calcium, and phosphorus, and silica. But people are not taking that. They're using the hormone replacement therapy, and that is just not responsible. And one last thing, that I'm very opposed to estrogen therapy because it will create insulin resistance. And this syndrome is characterized by low blood sugar, high blood pressure, or high insulin levels. And the most frightening thing about this for women is that it really leads to upper body obesity in women. And that's why so many women who are in their mid-40s and early 50s end up with this extra fat on their shoulders and under their arms. Just look at, if you took 100 people off the average streets of America over the age of 50 and ask them to put their arms out to their sides, you're going to see a lot of fat hanging off the arms, down the latissimus, over the traps, and the back. They didn't have that earlier in life in most cases. that's one of the side effects of taking the estrogen. Now, let's look at the good news. All right, so you got a clearer picture here now?
Yep.
Okay, what have you learned?
Well, I've definitely learned not to take replacement therapy, not to listen to a doctor, which I didn't do. I haven't done any of that. I wanted to try a natural method.
Good. Let's continue on then, see what we can learn about the good part of this story. All right, what do we do now? What can you do? Natural therapies can simply make hormone replacement therapy unnecessary. Now, I completed a year and a half study of people who went on a strict program of cleansing and detoxifying, eating no animal proteins, no meat, no sugar, no caffeine, no processed foods. They exercised vigorously 6 days a week for an hour. They drank lots of fresh organic juices every day. In fact, they actually built up over time to where they were drinking a gallon of juice a day and herbs. Now, three women in that group who had had postmenopausal symptoms, meaning they were way past menopause, one by 18 years, and had had a hysterectomy, returned to premenopausal state of health. Skin wrinkles were gone, energy restored, human growth hormone was back to normal, DHA was back to normal, estrogen levels were back to normal, and yet they had been postmenopause for 18 years. And we have it all fully documented. In fact, all three appeared in PBS specials. Even their gray thinning hair reversed. One woman, who at that time was 71, grew back brown, thick hair where she was gray and balding. Another woman had no libido, and her mucous membranes were so dry, and her skin was sagging. Her skin and mucous membranes regained moisture. She's enjoyed a level of health and energy that she didn't experience in years. Even she said that her toenails and fingernails, which had been brittle, yellow, and cracked in fungus, were now hard, pink, and totally revitalized. This was all without medication, no hormone replacement therapy, just gave her body a chance to rebalance itself. When we honor it, it will work for us. Let's take a look at the diet. You had said that you had given up dairy a couple years ago. Good. A lot of women don't know that there may be alternatives to estrogen replacement therapy. And the best sources are natural plants, where you'll get estrogen in some of our foods. In fact, you can get significant amounts of plant estrogens. Now, they've been shown to, in several research studies, to improve menstrual symptoms. The food that has the highest content is one that you said that you were eating, but you didn't know how much you were eating. And it's called soy. It can come as tofu, tempeh, anything made with soy will contain plant estrogens. Oats, cashews, almonds, alfalfa, apples, and flaxseed also contain estrogen. Now, a woman emphasizing those who's in the diet can experience significant decreases in hot flashes. And studies suggest that a little magnesium, about 1,000 milligrams a day, will also cause a reduction in hot flashes. Magnesium should come from citrate. No sugar is allowed. Zero. Why? Because any sugar in any amount can cause hot flashes and other menstrual symptoms. No caffeine is allowed. No alcohol. That'll affect blood sugar, and that will affect hot flashes. Now, to make sure that your weight stays at the level that you want it, you have to understand that in perimenopausal and menopausal women, you've got to be on a low glycemic or slow-acting carbohydrate diet, because you want consistent energy from the calories. And you don't want your blood sugar level fluctuating. For instance, yams, sweet potatoes, white potatoes, whole grains, those are unprocessed carbohydrates that are moderate to low on the index of glycemic foods. They provide high quality fiber, help to eliminate excess estrogen from the system by lowering blood levels of this hormone, In addition, a number of fruits and vegetables are particularly high in phytochemicals and phytohormones. The highest ones are grapes, especially black, red, and blue grapes, blueberries, raspberries, cherries, cranberries, red apples, pink grapefruit, lemons, pears, peaches. Those are all outstanding sources of the phytohormones. And you want those. Very important. And you will also want to be able to regulate sexual hormones by what you eat. You can. And you can also maintain a normal blood sugar level. And you won't be gaining the weight. Fats are important in a good diet. And you want to make sure that you get good quality fats. Flaxseed oil, olive oil, avocado oil. Those are all excellent sources. And also a natural source of the phytohormones is the natural thickening agent, kuzu, K-U-Z-U. So if you're making sauces, soups, puddings, you can use kuzu to incorporate in your recipes and use that instead of flour. And so it makes it really good. Now, you said that you were taking 25 milligrams of coenzyme Q10 and you didn't know how many milligrams of ginkgo, though you've ran out of it. Know the nutrients you're going to take and why, what each one does, and what level that it will do it at. For example, you said you're taking a multiple vitamin. Well, what level does it have nutrients that will help build your adrenal glands? You need that. Vitamin E is known for its ability to rejuvenate the reproductive system and to alleviate hot flashes. And low amounts of FSH, do you know what FSH is?
No.
Okay. FSH stands for follicle stimulating hormone, or LUH, luteinizing hormone, are related to hot flashes. So vitamin E at 600, 800 units helps increase the level of the brain hormones. It also helps lessen vaginal thinning and dryness. And you want to take the mix to tocopherols. They're best found together. And then zinc. Zinc is the mineral for ovarian function. A good source of zinc is picolinate, and generally at 25 milligrams. The B complex should be taken in perimenopausal, menopausal women at approximately 50 to 100 milligrams a day. But you should take extra B5 and B6, about 500 milligrams of B5, in the form of the non-flush niacinamide, and 100 to 150 milligrams of B6, very helpful during menopause. Folic acid at a 1,000 micrograms or 1 gram is very valuable in natural hormone replacement. Now, the essential fatty acids, which are precursors to the natural hormones in the body, are important for men and women. People with low-fat diets should pay special attention, because if you have a low-fat diet, you actually increase your risk of cancer and aging the skin. I told Nathan Pritikin, who had the low-fat diet, that, my goodness, I said, Nathan, you may be helping to lower some of these people's cholesterol levels for their heart, but they are aging prematurely. They all look terrible. Well, he refused to accept anything except what he created. Unfortunate. He wouldn't believe in vitamins, and he died early. And it's not a healthy diet. So you don't want fat that is in fact, the longest-lived, healthiest people in the world have one of the highest fat diets, but it's a healthy fat. So you want from Crete. So you don't want a real low-fat diet unless you were suffering from multiple sclerosis, because you can end up with premature aging. So flaxseed oil, pumpkin seed oil, sunflower seed oil. You want the omega-3 fatty acids also found in fish oil. Both are needed. And the essential fatty acids help prevent or treat vaginal dryness. Now, vitamin D is also important. Comes from sunlight, or you can get it in 400, 600 units a day as a supplement. Calcium is crucial to prevent osteoporosis Do not use any dairy. You want the calcium citrate. GLA, which stands for gamma-linolenic acid, you're going to get that in your essential oils about 500 milligrams a day. Boron at 5 milligrams a day is a precursor to the male and female hormones. Pregnenolone at about 25 to 30 milligrams a day help the body create female hormones. DHEA at about 50 milligrams a day is the natural hormone which rejuvenates the body. Progesterone creams or serum. Progesterone is a woman's rejuvenating hormone. It protects against cancer, fibrocystic breast, increases the beneficial effects of thyroid hormone. In addition, it guards against osteoporosis by putting calcium back into the bones. And after menopause, progesterone can be taken 3 or 4 weeks out of a month. And while a yam cream contains progesterone, it can be purchased over the counter. And natural progesterone can also be taken orally. Estriol, E-S-T-R-I-O-L, that's a natural friendly estrogen that's been shown to inhibit breast tumors. And I would definitely recommend it. Triple estrogen, this formula is 80% estriol, 20% estrione, plus estradiol. Now, estriol affords protection against breast tumors. And together, estrione and estradiol help reduce the risk of osteoporosis and cardiovascular problems. And there's no negative side effects. And then the herbs that historically all over the world have been used to help women with all the symptoms you've discussed include alfalfa, black cohosh, blue cohosh, Chinese ginseng, damiana, fennel, licorice root, motherwort, red clover, red raspberry leaves, sarsaparilla, and certain forms of wild yam. Now, flaxseed contains lignin, a phytohormone fiber that removes excess estrogen from the system. And this is particularly important since too much estrogen is one of the causes of breast cancer. And there are also herbs that are very powerful that are used in Chinese medicine for menopause, and that would include astragalus and dong quai, D-O-N-G-Q-U-A-I. It tones the uterus and stimulates production of female hormones. Ginseng, Hershowu, that's H-E-R-S-H-O-U-W-U, very important for promoting health of the kidneys, the liver, nervous system, and clearing of the eyes. Licorice root, this phytoestrogen contains a great detoxifying for the glands. And wuwei, W-U-W-E-I, it's the Shisandra fruit.